Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Two Girls, One Doc.
One Doc.
It's your girl, BD.
It is Forens the Foodie.
And we are back.
We back. You look so deflated.
I'm so tired. Like, I am so tired, and I feel the beginnings of a cold coming on, and a patient coughed in my face today, and I literally am like, huh. I literally feel like I'm about to be sick.
They need Adrian Monk in their lives to show them how to...
Fuck Adrian Monk. Do you know, I finished Monk now, yeah? Oh, and my consensus is like, ugh, he's so irritating. And like, ultimately, yeah, I don't... Obviously, it's not a spoiler because this has been out for decades now. But basically, at the end, yeah, you just look at it like, if you weren't so much like yourself, that you could have avoided all of this. Like, this whole 8 seasons was literally for nothing.
Yeah. Okay, I haven't gotten to the end, but...
That's why I didn't do spoiler.
Yeah, I can imagine that what you're saying...
It's for nothing. Yeah. But anyway, now I'm watching Psych and...
I was going to start Psych, but I was like, one neurotic...
one thing at a time.
Yeah.
So I'm watching Psych now, and that brings me joy. And part of me is like, oh, what's his name? Sean really used to take the piss out of Gus. But then also, the older I get, the more I'm like, Gus, stand up. Like, stand up. Like, for real. But no, I'm enjoying Psych. It's taking me back to the good days when I didn't have bills to pay.
Oh, I'm glad.
But yeah, I'm alive. I'm okay. How are you?
I am doing great. After this, I'm going to go on a walk. So...
okay, steps.
I've been doing walkies with my husband. It's quite a fantastic bonding experience.
Yeah, walks are great.
We really enjoy it. So, yeah, that's what we're doing after this.
Cute. So why does your face look like that?
No, because I was just looking at the sound thing and it looks so low. It's like every time I look away, it gets higher. Then when I look at it...
But it's fine. It's better that it looks low, because if it's too high, then it gets that. Like, it's weird. It's harder for me to, like, try and sort that out, as opposed to if it's low, I can just make it louder.
Fair enough, but it's doing that sneaky thing when I look at it, it's low, then when I look away and look back, then it's high. But
yeah, because when you're looking at it,
you're away from the mic. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, okay. So crazy things are happening.
Speaking of which, how can you release your album on one day and then 5 days later tell me that you're coming to the UK to perform said songs? Is everything okay?
Is this Thames?
Yes, it's a tour, June.
I didn't even know she had a concert. Wow, okay.
She has a whole tour. I didn't know. It's like, the London leg is like 3 seconds after the album comes out. I was just like, sis.
She said, get on your revision.
I feel like they know something, these celebrities, they know something that we don't know. Because why is everyone going on tour and why do they want their money right now?
I mean, to be fair, Usher asked for his money way in advance. So.
Okay. Well, maybe he has better financial planning. But these other ones, I'm sorry, like, everyone's going on tour. Everyone wants money. It's like, dear Lord, can I live?
Can I breathe? As I live and breathe. Okay, but...
The crazy things that are happening.
There's crazy things that are happening. So, guys, by the time this is released, for sure you would have seen the Diddy video.
Before we get into Diddy video, I will put a timestamp of when this documentary starts in the show notes. If you just want to come here for the documentary, that's fine. I've put it in the show notes.
But you should find them there. The friendship too, but fine. Okay, whatever. I audibly gasped and I clenched my stomach. Obviously, I'd read the court documents, seen all the videos and stuff of people dissecting it. So you have an idea, but I couldn't.
It doesn't compare to seeing it.
And this guy did this knowing there would be cameras in a towel in a hotel.
But this
imagine
what
he does behind closed doors.
Thank you.
Nah.
I saw that video and I was like, I really hope that Cassie doesn't see this. Because it's one thing to, like, be in the moment and, like, be a victim of the abuse. And there's another thing to, like, see it happening to you. He throws
sure
her around like she's a
before.
Doll.
I think
like,
she's
he literally
seen
throws, it. He literally throws her around like she is nothing.
Yeah, it's... Do you know how crazed you must be to come out in your
in
towel,
a towel
that could drop at any point in time?
In a towel.
You're actually... you're deranged.
You didn't even think, okay, let me put clothes on first. And you were so fucked, yeah. So tapped that your priority was, I need to inflict pain on this woman
and
right now.
And at any point that towel could have dropped and you're a celebrity, so you don't even care. Like, you actually... You're just like, nah, this is the bigger need.
And also, I feel like it's a thing of, like, feeling so above reproach or above the law. Like, I can do what the hell I want. Fuck CCTV. I don't give a fuck if there's cameras here. Nothing's going to happen. Because this happened in, 2016?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's only now.
8 years went by and nothing.
Nothing. And people would have seen that thing. People covered up for him. People, even me and my sister were like, when he released that statement saying enough is enough, you know, when he was like,
gross, and people just want a payday. Are you crazy?
How do you release that knowing that you did this shit? Just like, if it's me, I'll just shut the fuck up. How do you release something like that knowing that you did what they said and knowing that somewhere there'll be evidence? Nothing done in the dark doesn't come to light. Is that how you say that expression? Either way,
everything that's done in the dark will come to light, except for whatever happened on the elevator.
I was just about to say that. That literally popped in my head.
That's the CCTV that I want to see.
I want to see it with audio, though. We've seen the CCTV. I want the audio.
That's the CCTV I want to hear.
Someone needs to inject what's his face, the sexy bodyguard, Julius. Someone needs to inject him with truth serum. Did you see the video she released to that? Not, it wasn't
doing
like
the dance.
No, of course that. But no, there was this video she, you know, she does all those funny videos where it's like clip art.
Yeah.
So she did one with Jay-Z to Bodyguard, and I felt like she'd seen the rumors online, and she was like, just to confirm,
let me clarify a couple of things.
It's about this nigga.
She is a lover girl. She's in love with that this man. Nigga, and it's like, it doesn't matter if you don't understand it, you don't have to understand it. That's,
I don't
fine.
Mind
she
her being a lover
man.
Girl, but it's the object of the love that I.
No, but that's what I mean. That's why it proves how much of a lover girl she is, because the object of her love is Jay-Z, and it's like, rah, the love is so strong
that it overlooked the six.
I'm just like, rah, like maybe there's
dreads.
Something. I said maybe there's something that I'm not seeing. Like maybe I need to open thine eye to understand.
And but you can't even say it's his wallet, because she's equally as rich.
Yeah, but maybe it's his wallet, because she's equally as rich. When will she ever find her equal? Who else is her equal?
If she breaks up with him, she's gonna have to enter a lesbian relationship with Oprah, because that's her equal.
What is this thing with Oprah? Every
because
time
she's the pinnacle.
When Jay-Z cheated, it was Oprah. When Beyonce leaves Jay-Z, it will be Oprah. Why is Oprah?
Because she's the pinnacle.
Tip of your tongue.
Because who else in this world has so much to lose that they will not come out and say that they're the person who Beyonce has been singing about
for years?
I think
there are loads of really, really rich people out there who are not like famous to non-business people.
That's true. That's true. I could see her with a really rich white businessman.
Yeah, this wouldn't be a celebrity. Yeah, it would just be like someone who has money and minds their business.
That is true.
And we don't know them because it's not our tax bracket.
That is true. Anyways, Diddy, throw that man under the jail. Never let him out. Throw the key away. Kids.
Because what do you even come out and say? Because do you say, oh, I was drunk, oh, I made a mistake? You made decisions.
There's nothing to be said. And the thing that's so wild about that is, like, it looked like she was trying to leave. So she had her.
No, but that's what it said in the article. It said that she was trying to leave and he fell asleep. And then when she was trying to leave, he woke up. Fuck. And that's when he was chasing her out there. But you know, they say that when a woman's trying to leave a domestic, or when someone, a partner's trying to leave a domestic relationship, that's when they're in the most danger.
It's like that movie, that Tyler Perry movie.
Oh, God.
What's the name of that movie? Not A Woman Who Prayed.
Which one? No, which one? No. Because pick any.
Madea's Family Reunion. That's when she said, before or after his funeral, and she told him to get the grits.
That's the one where she the hot grits.
It's like that. She was trying to leave. He woke up. He almost flung her off the balcony. That man has he has a balcony kink, because it was the balcony that other guy flung the kids off of too.
It says, if you are trying to understand things, that's where you went wrong.
Diddy, and also the Combs kids, a message and a word is enough for the wise. Find 9-to-5 jobs, because your daddy's money is gone. Like, and I feel so sorry for the latest baby mama. Like, you didn't even get to enjoy like the rest of them. Like, your dad's money is gone. By the time he pays legal fees, and then nobody's ever going to work with him again in this life.
I mean, we say this, and I guess we can hope this, but I don't know, man.
Nah,
unless
look at R.
he
Kelly.
Is in the jail, under the jail for life. That's the only way. No, like, it would not surprise me if, like, okay, he takes a little hiatus and then he's back.
No, I don't think he can ever come back. In this current climate, I just don't. There are none of these guys recently who have been exposed that have ever been able to.
I just saw an article about talking about these actors saying, oh, yeah, they would love for Kevin Spacey to come back and work with them.
Are you fucking serious?
Yes. So what I'm saying
but
is.
But they might love, but they will never work with
and
him.
And also, he's white, so.
Yeah. Yeah, look at Bill Cosby. I mean, I guess Bill Cosby's in prison, but
he, I don't know if healthful cancellation will take him, but he's on his way out, mate.
Nah, I genuinely don't see how he can come back from this, though. Because even the white big brands will not work with him. So maybe in the hood, but that's, we all know that's not where the money is.
Where the money was at.
Where the money was at. Combs kids should go and find jobs, because your daddy's money's going to finish in court.
To change your names.
Yeah. And like, Quincy, you don't even need to be associated with him. So I don't know why you keep, like, he's not your daddy.
That's the, is it? Is it I'll Be Sure?
Mm.
It's a kid.
I'll Be Sure is funny though. In other news, the pastor. Another day of men-menning.
I just like, sometimes there'll be like a really sunny day and I'll say, wow, life is actually worth living. And then I will hear something and I'll say, don't know what, you know, what the point is.
I'll hear stuff and I'll be like, aliens invade.
Why am I here?
You probably would do better with this planet than we have. Invade.
This guy, and you know, I read an article about this because I first saw it on Twitter, then I read an article about this. All happened in, this happened ages ago. He was convicted in 2020. But this has just come to our
knowledge, light.
Yeah, literally, it's just come to our light. Okay. And also, it reminds us very much of an episode, a credits episode we did, which I will link below, about TB Joshua. So this guy, his name, he's 60 years old. Old enough to know and do better. Nigerian pastor. Pastor? Okay. He was based in Birmingham, I believe, and his name is Michael Olurunbi, and he was sentenced to 34 years in prison following his conviction for multiple counts of raping members of his church, including children.
As in multiple.
On 88 separate occasions. 88 separate occasions.
Do you know how depraved? And also, I struggle to believe, I mean, we know that his wife was enabling him, but I struggle to believe that the rest of the church members weren't aware of what was going on.
Or suspicious. But also, no, actually, it wouldn't surprise me if they weren't aware of what's going on, because people, and I can only speak for the culture from which I come. Yeah. And like, sometimes, like, people put so much on pastors or representatives of God. And it's as if, like, even one of the articles that I read, like, one of the victims was like, he literally was like God on earth, right? Because it's like, you trust them. Like, they are a direct line to God. God speaks to them, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we have to free ourselves. And I'm not shitting on pastors. Like, I understand the need for for good pastors, for godly pastors, for people to kind of lead the church and stuff. But you yourself, like, that's not your only connect
to God. You can actually pray.
You actually can. And the great thing about this religion, which you love so much, is that Christ died for you and me. Yeah. You and me, us, all together, all which us. Means we have direct line to him. So actually, don't need to be going through, do you know what I mean?
It's just, and it's a very African to and
that's why I said, I can only speak from the culture. It's like,
deify your priests.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, just having so much like reverence and fear for a human being. Someone who bleeds red like me. Just come like on. Like,
now the corruption in a lot of these churches, I mean, from Pastor Toby to, they're all sorts. The corruption is way, way, way too much.
It's so insane.
I can only speak as a Nigerian, but Nigerians need to stand up and free themselves from this. Yeah.
If this is your God, chat to your God, bro. Like, focus on that. Like, this is what this, like, so the raping that he was doing was so much that on multiple occasions they had to get do abortions for these children.
This is literally TB.
This is TB Joshua all over again. But this one is in the UK, and then when they arrested him, yeah, it was at the airport in Birmingham. He was getting ready to go to Nigeria. Do you think that man would have come back?
He was not coming back.
Do you think he would have come back?
He was not coming back.
That's how he would have been, again, started a church out there, been magnified, glorified, and then gone to die. And everyone will say, oh, he's with the Lord. There's no Lord that he's with, bro.
You're going to hell. Yeah, he wasn't coming back. Multiple abortions. Good night. He wasn't coming back. On kids. But that's why I said people must have been culpable, because who was performing, do you know what I mean, organizing these abortions?
Yeah, well, his wife, 100%. His wife was organizing the abortions, and she was definitely complicit in it. She's also in jail.
Good.
It's just like as a woman, like, I just think, girl, but what
skin folk is not kinfolk, as they say. People are, bro. women vary in all sorts.
And that's why pick-me's are so scary.
Yeah, it's not just
they're
about,
actually dangerous.
It's not just funny about, like, it's like that Pearl whatever, I've forgotten her name. Like, these people are dangerous.
She's never getting picked.
Yeah, she's never getting picked. But these people are dangerous. Anyways, we wish everyone, from Cassie to the other victims, the best. Because
no, for real, man. Like, I just pray for strength for them. Well, to be honest, Cassie's been strong, because for her to come out, like, knowing the kind of man that you're dealing with, knowing somebody that would do that in public,
and people
knowing
were
whatever
saying,
he's done in private,
people were trying to say she was lying. Why did she stay with him if he did? Oh my
I
god!
I hate that shit so much. Are you insane? Oh, she did this for payday. So if I said to you now, okay, cool, endure what Cassie endured, I'm going to give you however many million.
Is that what you're going to
at
endure?
The end of it? Are you going to say yeah?
I can't remember what I was watching with my husband. What was that? What were we watching recently? Oh, it's that documentary. I don't know if we'll ever cover it. Maybe, maybe not. But it's American Nightmare on Netflix.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, and it's basically, spoiler alert, some girl gets kidnapped. The police don't believe her, and they basically almost defame her. And she ends up suing. And it's like 2.1 million that she wins from the court. And
which is nothing.
Which is nothing. And basically, like, my husband was like, is this, like, this money's not worth what she went through. Like, you can't.
Exactly.
And that is the truth. That you cannot pay me, tell me that for, like, I should go for what Cassie went through for that money.
Be for real. I get that documentary confused with the show Papini once. I remember when I first started watching it, I was like, oh yeah, obviously she's lying, they're gonna expose
yes,
it.
Yes.
And
same.
Then I was like, oh shit,
even,
it happens.
Even my husband was like, yeah, I've heard this story before. Didn't she, like, go and hide away with her boyfriend? And I was like, yeah, that was Sharon Papini.
Yeah, that was a different one.
Yeah.
But yeah, remember Sherry, because I mentioned her later.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll get into the documentary. This documentary is called What Jennifer Did. Yeah, that's what it's called, right? And it's on Netflix. And it's a Netflix documentary, so if you've been here long enough, you know exactly what our thoughts are going to be. It's an hour 27 minutes. Why? I'm not sure.
Nope.
Could they have utilized those minutes better? They sure could have. Did they? They didn't. But hey ho. Okay.
Is this the first you'd heard of this story?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I've listened to like two podcasts on it.
I think I hadn't heard of the story, and I watched it, but I was like, anyway, I say this all here. So this documentary opens up with footage from an interview which happened on the night of this whole event. I was going to say event, shooting, murder. We hear the 911 call that led to this interview. Also, we hear it like multiple times throughout the documentary. Essentially, this documentary is about a girl whose parents are shot in a home invasion, and also the search for the perpetrators, right? And this happened in Markham in Canada. It's a really safe neighborhood, so everyone is kind of like, this is especially weird. And when I first watched this, because I watched this just to watch it, and then I watched it again for this. So when I first watched it, I didn't clock, like, I was kind of zoning out. I didn't clock that it was in Canada. And then when I watched it properly, I heard the police officer say house and boot, and I said, but of course.
Yeah. I was like, it's either your Tina Braxton, or
yes,
this is
literally, or Trina. You're either Trina,
sure,
or you're
Trina,
or
this is Canada.
Or you're in Canada.
I don't know why she talks like that.
I don't know either. Very strange, but I love her for it. So we meet Bill, who is our first talking head, and he was the lead investigator on this case. And you can tell that he kind of loves it. Like, he's really happy that he is here telling us about what happened. Like, he...
Can I just say, and again, when I was watching the Americans thing, I said to my husband as well, I find it fucking strange in these documentaries when the person who is a talking head who is narrating their experience of something is also in the reconstruction. Like, don't you...
I don't even clock.
Do you not have shame?
I never ever clock this stuff.
Something about it...
You said it's about another documentary.
Yeah,
before.
I really feel like, do you not have shame? Because it's like, are you a paid actor, or are you like what is your...
Because
you literally see some reconstructions of he might be like, oh, and we had a meeting, so you'll see him walking in to have like...
No, but then okay, I think there's a difference between reconstructions and like the producers being like, or the directors being like, okay, we're gonna do this scene, because there's scenes where it's like, okay, walk to your car or like whatever, just to show that you were part of it, but not recreation as in like, oh, we did a recreation of the crime.
No, but
and
even
then
that, I find it weird.
In.
Why do you have to show me sitting down at my desk pretending we're having this specific conversation?
Because they have to fill an hour and 27 minutes of our time.
And this
by
is
force.
Why I get the ick from Netflix, because it's like, you don't need to show all of that. Like, tell us, show us some shit that actually happened. Like, you know the videos they have when you're interrogating people or sit? Show us that. Yeah. I don't need to see.
They did show us that, to be
honest. I know, but what I'm saying is I don't need to see that other. Because I'm thinking, you're a waste man. You're a police officer solving detective cases, right? Or whatever your job is, right? And then you took your time out of that to walk to your car and back. Because they're going to ask you to film it multiple times.
Yeah,
I don't need to see that.
No, but I do feel like a lot of, like, professionals, especially, like, police people, because I guess in true crime, these are the people that they come to you as experts, yeah? They, like, they relish, they love it. Like, how many episodes of, like, Psych or those kind of shows where it's like, oh, hey, come and be a police consultant, and they fucking love it. It's like,
they lap it up.
Is just an extension of that.
Yeah, they do. Especially in America.
It's still icky, though. I agree.
Especially in America, because I feel like all of these things are sensationalized and stuff like that.
There's opportunities that can come from... Yeah. Like, how many of these talking heads have we seen in multiple documentaries? It's like, this should be your career.
Yeah, that's true. True that.
So Bill, he tells us that the victims of this crime were Bic and Han Pan. Han is the dad. He was shot in the eye, but he is alive and he's put into a medically induced coma.
I will survive.
And honestly, I'm so glad that he did. Bic, his wife, and Jennifer's mom dies at the scene. Okay. So at this point, everyone kind of thinks that Han's going to die. So Jennifer is considered the only, like, surviving witness. Okay. Yeah. So this leads us back to the footage at the beginning of Jennifer's interview. According to Jen, she's home chilling. Her mom gets back from line dancing and she hears her mom calling for her dad. And there's a gunman who threatens her, asking for money. This is important, they tie Jennifer up to the top of the banister and she's really scared because these guys have guns. They take her parents away from her and she hears two pops. Her mum screams, more pops. And she's like sobbing while telling the story in the interview. And also on the 911 call, she's like hysterical. Like, oh,
why would they have left you alive?
So we meet Deborah, who is a detective and victim liaison officer. Now, I didn't really know that they had these. I mean, I guess it makes sense that they had these, but she really seems to care about this part of her job.
She did.
And she really is trying to make sure that Jennifer's okay after, like, this traumatic event. Like, she really, like, she's really doing her job here, okay? Pin in that. So what would life be without a little bit of racism, okay? Now, the way that this documentary tells this story is that it unfolds, is supposed to unfold to us, the viewer. So it's not like, oh, we know who did it and we're trying to figure out how they got there. No, we're supposed to be shocked and appalled by what is revealed by the end of the documentary. Okay, that's how it goes. So as fellow documentary lovers, avid watchers, you people here, our people, our family, yeah? I feel like the title alone, you already know what is coming here.
You know what Jennifer did.
We know what Jennifer did. And that's why when Jennifer says what she says next year, I was like, this fucking bitch, yeah?
Yep.
And I hate that people keep doing this because it's happened in so many documentaries that we've covered. So the investigators, they say, hey, Jen, hey, girl, sorry this happened to you. Can you describe the men who tied you up?
Yes, he was black with dreadlocks.
Okay, and number two guy?
He had a hoodie, but I could tell that he was darker than
the first guy.
So he's a male black as well?
But thinner build. And then another one with Jamaican accent.
Okay.
It was a nigger.
Literally. First guy's black, dreadlocks, just in case.
Dreads. Like, second guy,
second guy, he's blacker than the first black guy. Yeah, he's darker. Yeah. And this one, Jamaica. This one's got a Jamaican accent as well.
Jamaica.
Just in case you were confused. I said, girl, bye.
Bye.
Girl, bye.
Might as well have called them niggas.
Might as well have said it was a couple of niggas and then a darker nigger.
Hard ER.
Like, so none of this makes any sense because no one rings the bell. No one kicks a door in. Like, how did they get in? No forced entry, nothing, yeah? And her parents have no enemies. They're not particularly rich. Okay, yeah, they have a Lexus and a Mercedes, but who doesn't, yeah?
Literally, who doesn't?
Like, who doesn't? No, for real. Like, they don't keep large amounts of cash. Like, they just seem like a normal middle-class family, decent house, paid off. Like, they're doing well for themselves, of course. But like,
they're not living in luxury.
Exactly. So it doesn't make sense. So the police really seem to do their job. Yeah, I do my job. They canvass the streets, they talk to people. And I think that it kind of rattled everyone because of how weird it was that it happened in that neighborhood. And people are like, loads of people are saying how nice they were. And naturally, people are scared for themselves now because it's like, oh my God, this random thing happened. Like, what if it happens to me? Because we're all so obsessed with ourselves. So the police learn about this drug dealer called Danny Wong, who is Jennifer's ex. Jennifer never mentions him, even when they say, is there any connection? Do you think that someone could have targeted your parents? Do you think blah, blah, blah? Never mentions him.
I don't know who that man is.
I don't know who, but she... So we see Danny's interview. He says that they were together, but her parents didn't approve of him.
Her parents were very strict. They pretty much drove her to the path where there's no time for a relationship.
Is there other reasons?
Probably because I didn't make enough money. Like, I was working at Boston Pizza, and they didn't approve of that. You know, we've been together for 7 years, and I haven't really formally sat down and just ate dinner with them or anything like that.
Basically, they didn't want her to be with a brokey, which, you know, is understandable.
He was a dishwasher.
No, he was a pizza. He made pizza.
I thought he was a kitchen dishwasher.
He was like, oh, was he? I thought because they called him a cook. Maybe they just heard pizza and they didn't realize what he actually did.
I mean, do you know what, though? I get it. Because you come to the Western world from your home country. Mm-hmm. You struggle... bring yourself up, give your children all these opportunities,
everything. Mm-hmm.
You want to see them do well, and whilst I don't believe in being a helicopter parent or being overbearing, I'm not going to sit here and say that if my child said to me, like, and it's, you know, it's one thing for you to be like, oh, I'm an aspiring chef, so obviously I'm working here and I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And that's a very different thing from like Danny, because Danny was working in a pizza thing. I don't think he'd gone to uni, which uni's not the people, but I don't think he had a plan. And he was a drug dealer.
I mean, he was just doing up drugs.
I don't think they knew the drugs.
I think I understand where her parents are coming from, because you've raised your child and you see your child at a certain level and you want them to be equally yoked. But my issue is that they don't understand that Jennifer is equally yoked with him.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, she is. Of course.
They did their best. Yeah. They did their best trying to raise a great woman, yeah? But and like, that didn't happen. She's a bum. Yeah. And she liked a bum. Yeah. And bums deserve bums.
And they were equally yoked, 120%.
It's just sad. Like, I see where her parents are coming from, because you're not good enough for my daughter. But actually, that's exactly what your daughter deserved.
Yeah, they were very misinformed, which is not their fault.
They were, getting to that. So, Danny basically saying how, like, they were together for 7 years, and we live in the same country, and I've never chilled with you and your parents. Mm. Like, this doesn't make sense. Like, we've been together for this long. You live at home. Why have I not been around your family?
There's someone on the ultimatum South Africa that is in the same predicament.
Boy.
Go and watch that.
That one I need to start watching. So Danny has a new girl called Christine, who we never meet. Him and Jen still talk every now and then. And then also they discuss these phone calls that they're getting. Someone's allegedly harassing them. Fine. Mm. Fine. Forget all that. So this interview is... kind of weird.
He says someone is messaging them bang bang
just before
the thing he got shot. Okay. So for real.
So now the police are kind of like, oh, you know, maybe now the motive might be to do with Jennifer and her drug dealing friends. Like, maybe someone was trying to do revenge. Mm. Or like, maybe the motive is around that as opposed to her parents, because her parents are like squeaky clean. Mm. So we see CCTV from the neighbor's house, and they see three people enter through the front door, no forced entry, nothing, which is again like, huh. So they bring Jennifer in for a second interview. Deborah, remember, our victim liaison officer, she's not in the interview, but she's watching it, and again, she's still very like concerned about Jennifer and stuff. So the interviewer asked Jennifer about Danny Wong, and she's like, oh, I think maybe the girlfriend, trying to like point the direction of, oh, maybe it's the new girlfriend that's done something or whatever.
Can I also say about this documentary, there was a ridiculous amount of people who you could tell just wanted to be part of the story. They didn't add any value. The friend, the piano teacher, the family friend. And the funny thing about piano teachers, when everything goes down, he's like, what, he said, me and my wife were talking, and I was like, what did I miss? What signs did I not see? And it's like, this ain't about you. It's about many things, and you are not one.
And you are not a single one. Because what signs were you supposed to have seen? And then when you saw said signs, what were you going to do?
Yeah.
This has got nothing to do with you. It's not because, oh, she played A minor, and then now all of a sudden, she became a killer.
Drake, like, is another person for real? That I don't know what he's going to do, but yeah.
Who?
Drake.
Oh, he'll be fine.
I mean, I guess so. But
he'll drop a summer banger and he'll be fine. That's why I don't feel a thing for him. He'll actually be fine. Kendrick, Kendrick Lamar, the man that you are. Okay, asterisks. I feel like when I listen to these rappers, yeah, there's a certain level of cognitive dissonance that you have to apply.
Yes.
Because
Kodak
misogyny,
Black.
Anti-blackness. Uh-huh. Exactly. And like you people firing shots at the expense of women. Cool. Fine. Again, that aside, okay, Kendrick Lamar, yeah, the lyricist that you are, okay, it's actually a bit ridiculous. It's not
touched
actually fair
by the hands of God himself.
It's not actually fair. And you know what, I was into a podcast and they were saying that Drake, yeah, on Family Matters, like he did his big one, yeah, like he actually tried and he did well in isolation, but in the grand scheme of things, the fact that actually 10 minutes later, Kendrick said, okay, bet.
He had it in the chamber. But do you know what?
He said, dear Adonis, said, I'm sorry that man is your father.
Forget that. He took Drake's elderly mum. Drake's mum is elderly. She's been elderly since he has been famous. That woman has been elderly and frail. He said, sit down. Let me tell you about your son because you raised the shit, son.
You need to sit down. And he should die.
Literally, he said, die. He said, I want you dead. Even when you're dead, I own you. Can you imagine?
Said you lied about you. You lied.
He has that crackhead like Bobby Shaw energy.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, and but it's always like, the quiet ones. You have to be wary. You
that's
be
what
very,
someone
very
said. Kendrick was in the park doing all sorts of calisthenics in jeans, listening to R&B, and you said, "Yeah, that's the guy I'm gonna." I've never known Ken. I don't know if Kendrick's been in other beef, but this for me has been the biggest one I've witnessed. But even something inside me told me this is not a guy that you ever beef with.
This is not
J. Cole.
And the thing is, he's been feeling how he's been feeling for time. Kendrick has been feeling how he's been feeling, yeah. And even him saying like, it's not just me, like it's the culture. Like he said, I'm not alone in how I feel.
Yeah. It's just I'm the one willing to speak.
And I can say it in the best way, because sometimes it's not just the words you say, it's the way you say them. I need this to penetrate your mind and your heart so you can understand that I hate
you. I want you dead.
I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress.
And you know what is so funny? It's like, I also relish in being a hater. So it was so, it was so beautiful for me, because it's like, this is how I feel about so many people, but I could never express it this way. Like,
and you know why I felt it so beautifully? Because this is how I feel about Drake. Yeah.
Yes.
This is how I felt about Drake. I felt so
nothing.
Seen.
Drake, they can never make me like you. Like even when he had his cock out, yeah, and it's a big cock, I still said, I hate you. I hate you. I hate your dick. Yeah. I hate the way you dress. I hate your like weird house.
I hate the way you say nigga. Do you know what? This is why I even, because you know me, like back in the day, I was a rap girly.
Shit good that comes from Canada. Just look at this case. Jennifer and Drake, like.
What about Biebs?
Who?
Biebs.
Is Justin Bieber from
Canadian? Yes,
oh, okay.
He is.
I like Justin Bieber. He might just, other than that one less lonely nigga, but.
And Purpose was a great album. Yeah. It got me through my period year. But yeah, like I used to be a rap girly back in the day. I was like hip hop fiend, yeah. And I feel like these songs, Kendrick's ones, they really just brought it. Like I was like, wow, like this guy is a lyricist. This guy is a scholar. This guy.
I feel like I know how people felt when Tupac dropped Hit 'Em Up.
Okay,
I get it.
And so this is how, as in, I remember where I was. Do you know what, when Kendrick dropped Twice in the morning, I woke up, he dropped, yeah, we were getting ready to go to bed that night, yeah, he had dropped again. I said, oh my god. Stop.
I get
everything
it. Everything, hold the press,
hold the press, we must listen. Me and my man were literally just like, oh
Guys, can I just say,
and then when he dropped Not Like Us, I said, you know what,
he really
this
is not like
this
us.
Is there's so many layers to this, yeah,
and I love it.
Like,
from the title,
you think
to
he's
everything.
The only one that can make the people dance.
Do you know what, yeah guys, marry people within your age bracket. I wanted to share this experience with my husband. I said to him, oh yeah, like Drake and Kendrick Lamar, this beef is crazy. He said, who's Kendrick Lamar?
But I'm sorry, but he's moving crazy because he's not even old like that. That's his age, mate. He's younger. He's probably younger than Kendrick.
Do you know the problem I think my husband has is...
It's the culture.
No, it's not. It's actually not. It's that his dad is quite old, so...
He's an old man.
Yeah, so you know, how we like all this. Feed off of, like, our parents when we're kids? So because of my dad, I used to listen to a lot of 90s, like, R&B, hip-hop and stuff. he fed the other way. So he's always trying to get me to listen to Igbo High Life. If you're Igbo, you'll know, like, or even if you're not, you've probably heard it, yeah.
High Life,
he's,
you know.
Always trying to get me to listen to High Life and all these aunties singing in soprano. And I'm like,
oh, this is wailing.
This is not my ministry. We're not even in the same, like.
This ain't that.
Like, marry in your age bracket. Because he's an old, like,
do you know what? I hear it.
An ancient soul.
It's like asking your dad to care about the Kendrick beef. Like, it's like,
no,
okay.
But my dad would then know. I promise you, if you ask my dad, he actually would. My dad is quite current.
Sorry, his dad.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just was like, I can't begin. There's no, how do I begin to explain to you?
Now, where do we go? How do I start from like that and then get you to listen to Bypass Future's bit and listen to Kendrick's and then be breaking it down and say, okay, this isn't where it started, but this is like the most recent
stuff.
And then
having to explain to you how somehow J. Cole's a prophet because he knew to bow out. J. Cole said, for you one. People, this is entertainment. I know these niggas. I live this life.
My friends. And
I know to apologize. Like, yeah.
Remember, I was chatting to Annette about it because Annette was taking long to like catch up. And then she caught up, and she messaged me and was like, she was like, oh my God. And she's like, yeah, but like, I just feel like it is weird how like, she said, oh, I think Drake kind of gagged him a bit when he said, I said, great, Drake didn't gag anyone about
he
anything.
He didn't gag anyone.
She was like, when she said that, like, oh, you hate that he says, he hates that he says nigger, but his girl is mixed race. I said, stop right there, yeah? This is why I know you don't understand. And Drake also doesn't understand the fundamentals,
because they are fun and they are
mental, because Kendrick is mental, Kendrick's problem. Kendrick is, you don't understand.
It's not
you
that you're mixed race. It's that you are so far removed from the culture, because somebody literally did a TikTok and was like, Kendrick's girlfriend may be mixed race, but she is like his
American.
She was like, not even just American, she's black. Like how her brother was in prison with him and used to say like, yeah, like she used to put money on his card. Kendrick will come and be talking to him, like, you know, trying to get him out of the streets. Yeah. Like she's from the hood. Like,
yeah, she's about that life. She's from the culture. It's who she life. Is.
She just
it's
happens.
Who she is. You don't
she
have
just
to
happens
pretend.
To be biracial. But she is Drake is cosplaying something that and do you know what, it's so funny because sometimes I oftentimes forget that he's actually cosplaying. Yeah. Like you're pretending. But you're not. Why are you trying? You're not African.
But then he holds on to the whole like, oh, my dad is from Memphis.
Your dad
didn't
raise you. You
and
were raised
this is in why. Okay, suburbs this is why Kendrick said you need to ask for more paper. Okay, because you have been rinsed. You have been used. Yeah, and I just feel like this is the fun. This is the fundamentals. Is that like, babe, just be who you are. He even said, listen, if you keep making us dance and stuff, won't be no threats. Won't be no
and
issues.
That's the, that, do you remember?
You turned weird. You're weird
now.
What the
he's
fuck?
Released that song like his first mix. It can I save you? Make music like that.
Like
and we'll,
that.
We, you don't.
And you know what? And this is why. Yeah, I'm so sorry, guys. This wasn't meant to go here. Maybe a timestamp will follow. Yeah, but it's just kind of like, okay. You have isolated your core audience, yeah, because you've become a weirdo. Yeah. And like your core audience, because I remember the first time I heard Drake, I was on the fucking 142 on the 340 on the way to secondary school, to high school, yeah. Mm. I am now a grown ass woman. I'm in my 30s.
And you hate him.
And I hate him. And it's like, how
same
can
with
we
my sister.
Have grown? Yeah?
My sister was
and you OVO, didn't.
XO, everything. She fucking hates him. I also equally really like Drake. I can't stand his guts. I hate everything about him. I hate his stupid braids.
I hate the way that he walks. I hate the way that he dresses.
I hate every fucking
thing. Like, no, for real though,
what
is it, the braids? Like, is it the braids? Because what the fuck?
I hate the fact that he tries to put a do-rag on Adonis's, like, onesie hair. Like,
is it even a C? Not a C. Is that 1A, motherfucker?
1A, silky, straight.
Oh, I just
he has an
myself.
Unnatural allegiance to being a loser.
To being to him himself the loser.
Him himself the loser.
I'm just like, sir, like, why did you have to become this way? And this is what I'm saying. Like, again, I feel like Drake even thinking that like he's Kendrick's mate, yeah.
It's
it goes to
mad.
The same Diddy, it goes to the same Diddy thing, like you have so much fame and so much power, yeah? Yeah. Maybe you're surrounded by yes men all the time. I don't know. I don't know your people like that. That backer guy. Weird case. Why is he around? I don't know. Yeah. But it's just kind of like, well, you really, 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 really believe
that you that are equally
you and Kendrick Penn is the same.
Kendrick buried him 12 feet under.
But he'll be fine, ultimately.
No,
he'll be all right.
Fine. He will be fine.
He'll be okay.
And then Metro Boomin as well. Like, Metro Boomin, in the history of disses, yeah, he literally was like, everybody diss Drake.
Baby,
he said this is a free for all. Now all
it's
of you, now
insane.
You're all in it. Can
it's
you imagine releasing a beat
that sick? How many genres I've heard, and they are all great. They all bang. Like, we haven't been this united in a long time.
And this has been an exceptional year for social media. First, what was the first thing that happened that was crazy?
It was a Cat Williams interview.
Oh yeah, the Cat Williams interview. Then it was Kate. Then this. It has been an exceptional year for social media. Honestly, I for one have thoroughly enjoyed it. And before some of you ask, no, I don't have a burner, but I see all. Don't worry about how I see it.
I feel like these, like Euphoria, Meet the Graham, Not Like Us is going to come on in 35 years time, and we my are colleague, going to go insane.
My colleague is this like Irish girl, absolutely love her, yeah. And she was like, oh my gosh, like, can you catch me up on this Kendrick beef? Because I just saw it over the weekend, but I didn't have time to listen. She's like, I just saw, because I work in middle, I must say, I work in middle-aged, like a very middle-aged company.
Do you know what? Some of them, I love them. Like, there's somewhere that I work here and they're all like middle-aged white women, yeah? And they are a key. Like, they are the vibe. Like, when I say, whenever I go there, I'm just like, you lots are actually insane. Yeah.
Okay.
You lots are actually insane.
I love that for you.
Yeah, so it's a great time.
She was like to me, can you catch me up? Like, I don't know where to start. She's like, I saw this stuff, but I don't know where to start. So I was like, okay, first of all,
it's a playlist.
This. And then this, so she was literally sat next to me listening. And like, I would just see her with her mouth open and her eyes wide.
That's a
and then she
song.
Took her headphones off, after I think it was Meet the Grahams. And she was like, I feel rude for listening to this. I said,
it's too personal.
I was like, I honestly felt like shy after
I shouldn't
listening.
Be yeah
like I was
yeah.
like I shouldn't be listening to like yeah. It feels like when you know when you go to your friend's house and they start having family and domestics fighting. And you're like, I shouldn't be here.
But so this is the thing, this is the difference, yeah. And people have said this online, I agree. Drake was trying to do up haha for the crowd, yeah. Like Kendrick was like, hey nigga,
no, I really don't like
I'm
you.
Talking to you, yeah. Forget he's everyone
like,
else.
He's this like, the is call is inside the house. This is for you. Literally, fuck all, this is fuck for all you. The rest. This is direct.
This is direct to you. Like, literally, hello, is this Drake? Like, this is to you. This isn't about,
he
like,
said, make no mistakes about it.
Make no mistake. This is for Drake. Like, he said, listen.
No, but do you know what? I feel like now when I listen to Hit 'Em Up, I have a different connection to it because I now know what they must have felt like.
Felt exactly.
Because
exactly.
That was another direct. He said, that's why I fucked your bitch, you fat. Yeah. Like, he
you
said,
fat
he said,
motherfucker.
He said, it's you. He said, Biggie? No small. Yeah. It's you. I'm talking to you. Like,
so insane.
Nah.
I feel so, this is how I feel again about Beyonce, yeah? I'm just like, I'm so happy that like I'm remembering and experiencing this in real time.
Yeah.
That my stories to my kids would be like, oh my days, here's vlog footage from me at Beyonce's concert. Like me, I went here, I remember when this album came out. It's gonna be like, fam, not like us, because the kids are gonna be banging it, yeah?
Yeah.
It's gonna be like, fam, don't you know that me and your dad were doing when we...
I cannot say that for myself, but I'll just say, do you know where I was? Because my husband
and you were living it up?
No. Where were we in the actual documentary?
I'm sorry, this
documentary was shit. That's why...
Bruh!
That is why we are where we are right now.
This documentary could have been an email.
Yep!
Okay, no, I had said that. Jennifer's trying to blame it on Christine. Oh, and then she also reveals that her dad gave her an ultimatum. Basically, she's between us, your parents, or Daniel, her man, yeah? And obviously, she chooses her parents because she needs money and somewhere to live. But she's still talking to Daniel. And then she gets caught talking to Daniel, and then that basically she's grounded. So she's not allowed a phone or to go anywhere alone. Okay.
But also parents, like, come on.
So this is what I say next. I'm like, you know, I get that they were trying to do the best. But like Foren said, like, they are trying to do the best. We are immigrants. This isn't our country. We've made it despite the odds. Like, how can you come here and be a flop? Like, she's in piano lessons, hence the piano teacher. She's doing really well, actually. Like, she wins competitions and stuff. But this is typical immigrant parent shit.
40% of that is also what will our community say. That's
that's true.
Which is problematic.
That's very, very true. Yeah, them man are talking about peer pressure when we're teenagers. You might not be peer pressured in your fucking 50s.
Literally.
It's very strange. But another thing, I think her parents were quite delusional because she wasn't that smart. Like, I'm not saying that she was dumb, but like she wasn't like straight A's smart. Like, she just wasn't. And so she just became better at lying to them about things because she wasn't good at the things that she wanted them to be good at.
Yeah.
This bitch, lies about getting into university for 4 years.
Four fucking years.
So what I couldn't understand is because when I went to university, my parents drove me to there with my suitcases and
but
stuff.
But she didn't do the overnight, not the overnight, she didn't do the sleeping over uni. She went from home.
every day.
Yeah, I mean, if you like, if you went to uni in London and you're from London, you could go from home.
I suppose. Okay, when I talk about this documentary wasting time, so what was she doing in those 4 years? I would kind of like to know.
That's the thing. So this, for me, this documentary was a waste of time, especially because it didn't actually go into a lot of detail. So I've listened to a podcast on this case, and it went into a lot of detail about just how deceptive she was, how much she was lying, what she would do. Like, sometimes she would, like, not go to school and just hang out with Daniel the whole day, or she'd go to a park, or, like, and do you know what? There are so many stories about people who do stuff like this, and I find it scary. Like, yeah. I think I would just die of anxiety.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and so boredom. Basically she spent her time, like, just either going to a library and reading, spending her day with Daniel, going to a park. There were times when she might be working as well. Like, that's what she was doing.
I couldn't lie like this. It's just not in my nature. When I had to lie to my boyfriend about his documentary thing that I was doing, I was in turmoil.
Yeah.
Because I had to, everything I wanted to say, I had to think of, oh, does it make sense that I would say this if I haven't done this? And I said, it's too much calculations. I don't have it in me.
I can't lie because I'm not mysterious. I talk too much. Mm. I've told on myself, like, before you've even asked the question, I'm like, yeah, because I talk too much. So, yeah, I try to always tell the truth because I talk too much.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
I am the least mysterious person ever. I'd love to be mysterious, but I can't keep my mouth shut.
So we find out that Jennifer's parents find out that she didn't actually go to university. And they're like, okay, cool, well, we'll then give us our money back. Okay. Mm. And so, again, the police are like, okay, you know, a couple of questions. Mm. Especially regarding the actual incident, not even just about, okay, you lied to your parents for 4 years, yeah? She said that she was tied to a banister, arms behind her back, tied to the banister. One, how are you able to pull out your phone and make the phone call whilst being tied to the banister?
Mm.
And most importantly, why did they leave you alive when they just killed two people?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, are you special?
Yep. What was the benefit of you being alive?
So at this point, they kind of think that she must know something. I don't think that they think that she is, like, orchestrating things. I think that they think that, like, okay, maybe you, anyway.
Yeah.
The only other witness is her dad, but he's still in a coma at this point, so he can't really be interviewed. But then he wakes up. And he tells us what happened. So that night, he goes to bed early and he's awoken by a gunman. And this is a terrible, terrible fear of mine. I cannot imagine you go to bed in your bed, sleeping. And when you wake up, you're already a bit like disorientated, yeah? Mm. But you're being woken up and there's a gun in your face.
Yeah.
And like, how do you ever sleep again?
It's just like, again, it's like that American nightmare, the documentary you watched. Yeah. After watching it, yeah? The way my man locked the door, I've never seen him lock the door like that at night. He locked the door. He got the bat out of the cupboard, put it by the bed. I was like, I didn't know you had fear in you. He was like, nah, but that was crazy. And I was like, yeah, it fucking was.
Yeah. But yeah, it's terrifying, man. Crazy things happen in this world.
And it's going to be jarring because you're woken up from sleep as well. That already, like,
being shocked. But this is what I mean.
Yeah.
Being woken, like, even when you wake up of your own accord, yeah, it can still be a bit like, like, where, do you know how many times I've woken up and be like, shit, am I working today? And it's like Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, so trauma. Literally, so someone else waking you up and then you're now like, sleep in your eyes, yeah? And for me, who's myopic as fuck, now I'm looking for my glasses. What the hell's going on here, yeah?
No, you can't see for shit. You don't know if it's a sleep paralysis.
You don't know
demon
if it's an axe murderer or a child molester.
What you do know.
What you will know. No, do you know, I had an eye test the other day, yeah? And my prescription got worse. And I was just like, I literally felt like I'm never the patient, yeah? Mm. I'm always the person, the optometrist, yeah? Mm. And then, like, I literally was like, oh my God, this is how people feel. Like, and I'm always like to them, oh yeah, your prescription's changed a bit. Like, in my head, it's not that deep. People have eye diseases, okay? People are actually going blind. Like, it's not that deep. And then when it happened to me, I was like,
damn.
Oh. And because I know what answers to say, I know what they mean. So she was like asking me stuff, and I was like, oh shit, it's got worse now, isn't it? She was like, yeah.
Yeah.
It has.
It's a slippery slope.
But yeah, it would just be terrifying. You wake up, what the hell is going on? And then you're shot. So we see her third interview, and this is basically where they confront her.
Did you say that he said, you didn't say this, but he said that when he wakes up with a gun, they take him downstairs to see his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's begging for his life, her life, sorry.
Yes, the mum.
And then he sees Jennifer walk down and she's chit-chatting with the...
She's chilling.
Yeah.
She's chilling. And the thing is, this guy was shot in his eye. Yeah. Your eye is very close to your brain, okay? Mm. And I'm just like, the fact that he recalls this...
It's crazy.
It's one, he survived, and two, he recalls exactly what happened. I said, God is so good.
He's so good because he was like, yeah, nah, you're going to testify
to my
greatness.
He said, is this bitch? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, bruh. So now we see, so after all of this, we see her third interview. And this is basically where they confront her. And I mentioned Sherry Papini before because this reminds me of the episode that we did. So we did, it's episode 128. But again, I'll link it in the show notes, yeah, so you can listen while you wait for next week's episode. But there's this bit in that episode where... And not to spoil it, but someone is being interrogated, okay? Mm. And the police already know that they're lying and they have proof that they're lying. But the way it unfolds in this documentary, it's just like, chef's kiss. Yeah, that episode was really good. But yeah, I'll link it so you can re-listen. But in this interview with Jennifer, this, I think this is the final one. This interview isn't with a police detective person. It's with this guy whose specialty is lie detection. Mm. And his name is also Bill Gates, but it's not spelled Gates. It's spelled Gates a different way. And
I was like, okay. I hope he doesn't have the stained blue dress.
Bill Gates?
Oh,
isn't
shit.
Bill Gates the Apple guy?
Yeah, sorry.
Or the Microsoft guy.
I immediately thought of... No, Bill Gates is...
Who are you thinking about? Bill Clinton?
Yeah, I immediately thought Bill Clinton. I don't know why. But Bill Gates is the Microsoft guy. Sorry.
He's the Microsoft one.
Yeah, girl. I'm so sorry.
Can your white men mixed up?
It's all bills.
So, can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bills? Can you pay my other money? Okay, so he basically is like, listen, babe, yeah? Mm. Your dad's alive, all right, yeah? And he's giving us a good description of the guy you were with. And guess what, babe? He's not even black. Yeah? He's not even black. Why did you say she was black, you stupid bitch? Yeah? That's not verbatim, but that's what he says.
Yeah.
What does she do? She starts crying. And she's like, oh, but that's what I remember. That's what I remember. And Bill Gates is literally like, no. No. Like, literally. And then eventually she kind of pivots now. And she's like, oh,
pivot?
They were supposed to...
Pivot?
Eventually. Eventually, she was like, oh no, they were supposed to kill her because she didn't want to live anymore. She doesn't know why they killed her parents. God. I said, bitch,
literally,
it's okay,
like,
you're caught.
Free us from this lie, like, free us.
You are caught, like,
red-handed.
This is the end, okay? The gig is up. Yeah. The jig is up. It's up, it's okay? Up. Long story short, and again, it really is long story short because this is an hour, 27 minutes. They find out that she was looking for someone to kill her parents. Mm-hmm. And so they get a warrant to look through her phone and they find that she's messaging Danny, who introduces her to the people who commit the crime. So in the documentary, more of the ways they waste our time is they read the text exchange. But basically all that it says is that Danny sets up the link between her and some guy called Homeboy, okay? TM, for Jennifer to kill Jennifer's parents. And so Danny thinks that Jennifer wants to do this because she feels a lot of pressure and expectation and like all that kind of stuff, and she wants to be free from that, right? Mm. But it seems that like Jennifer was going to kill them so that her and Danny could be together. And Danny's kind of like, now be like, I'm with Christine now, so
and
like,
I really
if
love her.
And I really like the way he says to her, the way you feel about me is how I feel about Christine.
He said, fuck you, I love Christine.
No, you would have to shoot me then at that point.
Literally, just kill me. I almost killed my parents for you.
Can you imagine? And so Jennifer is like, okay, well then call it off with Homeboy. And Danny now is annoyed because it's like, no, like I lined all this up for you. Like I set this all up for you. If you want to contact Homeboy, then contact him. Like, you stop it, kind of thing. This whole text exchange incriminates Danny, because now we know that you conspired. Yeah. So that night, the night that it all happens, she gets a message from Homeboy saying game time. She waits for her mum to get home from line dancing. Mm. And then she unlocks the door that her mum already locked. Hence how they got in, obviously. Mm. Yeah. And then she does some signal, turns her lights on and off so that they know to come in. So it's not like, oh yeah, she was just involved. They say she masterminds. I say she planned, because ain't no master, ain't no mind, yeah?
Yep.
This whole thing. Okay. She gets arrested for murder, attempted murder, and conspiracy to commit murder. That's a whole lot of charges.
That's a whole lot of charges.
So everyone is shocked. No one is more shocked than Deborah, our victim liaison officer.
She said, wow, I really need to change careers.
I was like,
girl.
But when you think about it, yeah, when you really break it down, all of this was for man. Is that not madness?
It's insanity. Pure insanity. Men don't even slap like that.
They don't even slap. Especially Danny.
They do be slapping physically. But
especially Danny. Like,
Danny
especially
did not
Danny.
Slap in any department. So I don't know what it was all for.
That's why I'm saying that, like, they're equally tapped. Like, yeah. They deserved each other. 100%. I just want to say, I kind of wanted to see Christine, like, what was her vibe? But she must also be tapped if that's her man. So, So that's it. That concludes that. So in the last 5 minutes of this hour and a half documentary, we find out that Jennifer had tried to kill her parents before. 10 months before the shootings, she had approached a friend and asked him to kill her dad. She even paid him to do it. So that shows intent. But he didn't do it.
Layers to get to before murder. How do you rationalize everything and feel like this is the best solution?
I don't get it. And then also it's like, do you think that you're not going to get caught? But again, delusions of grandeur, just delusion. Because it's like, do you think that you're so smart, you're such a mastermind that you're just not going to get away with it? Oh, if I just cry and I call the police, are you all right?
Girl.
Is everything okay? And then also the friend that she, I mean, to be honest, if someone said to me, oh, hey, like, I want you to kill my parents, I'm going to give you $2,000, which is, I think, how much she gave homeboy, yeah, which is insane. Also, sorry, we'll get back to that. Don't you think it's embarrassing, yeah, that you're going to jail for killing someone? This is not even your beef. This has got nothing to do with you.
It's got shit to do with you.
It's so embarrassing.
For $2,000.
For $2,000. $2,000.
$2,000 cannot change your life. Regardless of what, like, state of poverty you're in.
It changed his life for the worse. The other guy that she paid, yeah, it's like, if you hire me to kill someone and I say, give me the money, and then I don't kill them, we're going to call the police.
This reminds me of a situation we had, but we'll talk about that offline.
Okay. What situation?
It wasn't murder. It was when we were in Mexico and. Oh my God. Like.
Do you know what? Sometimes, like. I think about things that have happened in life, and you know what, I don't actually think about things because I forget everything. Sometimes I'm reminded by something about something that happened and I'm like,
I can't believe that happened. I've been thinking that I cannot believe that happened.
No, I can actually believe that happened because I'm just like,
yeah, but I mean,
right, okay.
I also can't,
but you, I'm just
I'm telling you, I must have been finished to, because I remember just sitting there and watching everything unfold. And then it was like the next day I really deeped and I was like, wait, what the fuck?
But even at the time, because I remember at the time I was thinking, this is so fucking dumb. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
At the time I was not thinking. I was just like, don't be too drunk, don't be too drunk. I make it to that dinner.
Boy, and you did, girl, you did.
I did. I tried.
Half of them did it, boy. So Jennifer's found guilty, obviously. On-screen text tells us everyone involved is sentenced to life in prison with no chance of parole for 25 years. Ham Pam was granted a lifetime non-contact order against his daughter.
Let me add some seasoning to that. Usually,
it's meant to keep parents away from kids. Ham Pam said, fuck you and fuck you forever.
In this lifetime and the next.
Because it's like, she's in jail forever. So it's kind of, I mean, I guess that if she gets out, it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. And you know what? This reminded me of another episode that we did. It's episode 34. It's actually ages ago, yeah? It's called I Shot My Parents. Again,
oh, yeah.
I'll link it in the show notes. And that's a good episode too, because it's weird because his parents survived, yeah? And like, again, I said this before, I'm going to say this now. I don't have children, so I don't know the kind of bond or love or strength of love I will feel for any offspring that I have, yeah? But I just feel like, much like Han Pan, if you shoot me, yeah, you're trying to kill me and my man. You're an op. I'm so sorry about it. You're an op. Are you okay?
Op.
How do we come back from that? I'm not visiting you in jail. I'm so sorry. I no longer have a child.
I'm Kendrick Lamar, your ass. Like,
bro. Like, what?
Han Pan said, fuck you. Now and in the next life.
And forever.
Crazy.
So we get more on-screen text that says, following a successful appeal against their conviction for the first degree murder of Big Pan, all the accused have been granted a new trial. Jennifer maintains her innocence. I don't get how this has happened. Did the podcast that you listened to discuss that?
No, because I don't know if it had happened at that point in time.
Maybe it was before.
It probably was a technicality. But Jennifer,
but then it's like they still have the attempted murder charge, right? And then also the conspiracy to commit murder.
Probably they probably are charged, but then you have to go to court to prove them guilty. But Jennifer,
but they did, didn't they get? But didn't that what happened?
Yeah. So the new thing is probably a technicality that happened in the last
just
trial.
For that.
So
okay.
Yeah, but Jennifer saying that she's proving her innocence when your dad saw you. What? Like what?
Are you fucking stupid? You are.
Like he fucking saw you. Like what are you talking about? Man, wrap it up.
Before the real crime, yeah, I did some digging online to see how her dad is doing. I couldn't really find much about him, but he's in his 70s, he's alive. Yeah. I saw this article from 2015, because this happened time ago, saying that he attempted to sell his home, but he was unable to find a buyer. Aww. So he lived with relatives nearby at the time and was unable to work following the incident. He also experienced chronic pain, anxiety, and insomnia.
Oh my God.
And in the years since the high-profile incident, he's remained out of the public eye, which is understandable. I feel like, because for him, yeah, okay, cool, you tried to kill me, but you actually stole my wife, like what the fuck, like the love of my life.
I'm crippled now with
It's so insane. Also, Jennifer has a younger brother,
Felix. She does,
and they put him in private school.
They hated Jennifer.
No, they put her in piano lessons from the age of 4.
Girl, why did you put one in private school and not the other?
Because I think they saw how Jennifer was turning out and they said, okay, we have to do better with the second one.
Yeah, but I mean, I think from what he said, he, I guess, somewhat believes that Jennifer's innocent, because he was saying that they had such a close relationship with their mom, and the dad is a bit weird, so the mom was the parent they were closest to.
Yeah, but I think that he, because he's not in the documentary, but I think that he basically can sympathize with, like, maybe the pressure that Jennifer felt.
Cause again,
but I don't think he doesn't think that she did it.
Because again, in the podcast, they go into a lot of detail. They kind of brush over the pressure she was under. She was under an immense amount of pressure. And I understand that that can lead to hating your parents, because it was a lot. Like, they were quite light on, but her parents were very intense.
Yeah, and as an immigrant child, I feel like we can kind of understand or imagine what
it was like. And her dad was very withdrawn, and the brother says it as well. So it wasn't just like, oh, like, they're forcing me to... Nah, it was like... very intense. So I'm not, and this is not to justify, but it is to say that I can get why he understands her, whatever.
Yeah, the other thing I saw was about the AI images.
That was my crime.
Okay, now it's time for
the real crime. I think was the beard.
Our segment where we focus on something during the documentary that may not be criminal, but we definitely consider to be a crime. Have you got one for Reds?
I do have one. It's the AI images, Han. So apparently a lot of the images of Jennifer, or in fact all of the images of Jennifer, like, looking happy or doing things that I guess she wasn't meant to do, like whatever, they were AI generated.
And again, did you see the zoom in with the hands?
Yep.
I said, what the hey?
And again, it leads me back to, we don't need to do all of this in a documentary. We can get...
Especially a documentary.
We understand... This is meant to be truthful. So we understand the message you're trying to convey. We don't need you to fake these
fabrication.
Images. Yeah.
And again, it's particularly weird in a documentary, because this is truth. This is fact. And I understand that, like, with documentaries there is an element of storytelling. I hear that. But like, you're telling a story that happened. It's the truth.
Yeah.
You don't have to bring AI vibes to tell that story. You can just tell the truth.
The truth, yeah. What was yours?
So there's a bit where they talk about how Jennifer worked all summer to raise a couple of grand, right? And she spent all of it on a paintball gun for Danny Wong. So you may think that that is my issue. That is part of my issue, but it's not just that, yeah? Like, treat your man, cheat whatever. My issue is that, like, she said that she couldn't think of anything better to spend it on than him. And I'm just like, sis, not even yourself.
Stand up.
Thousands of dollars, you couldn't think of a way to spend that on yourself.
The
only thing you could think to spend it on was a paintball gun for a man who no longer wants to be with you, is now with Christine, and loves Christine as much as you love him, but doesn't love you.
Stand the fuck up.
¿Qué?
Stand the fuck up.
¿Qué? ¿Qué pasa? No, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. Like, that, yeah. I was infuriated. I said, girl, you need to stand up. This was always going to be your destiny.
Yeah, you were destined for nothing else.
For nothing.
Now they say people are destined for greatness. You were destined for nothing positive.
For nothing. It's so sad because, like, I mean, and again, I'm glad that you are, that you said how much, like, emphasized the pressure that she was under, because I do think that that's important. And I think that it's difficult for people to understand that if they haven't been in that situation.
But I feel like she would be better off just saying, like, this is how horrible it was, and I snapped. And I needed a way out, and I couldn't see a way out. Then all this pretending, because then it makes you look like a psychopath.
You're tapped. Yeah, you're tapped. But she is, so that's that. But yeah, boy. So next, we did say we were going to give you two documentaries because we gave you two credit share, and the documentary we were going to give you was the Ashley Madison one that just came out on Netflix because it's giving juicy. Yeah. But it's three episodes, and so we're going to do it as a credits. I am going to play the trailer at the end of this so that you guys can get a feel of the vibe of the documentary, but we are going to do it as credits because that way we can kind of discuss it in more depth. We don't have to sit down and make notes about 3 hour long episodes because we have jobs. You know what I mean?
We have lives.
So yeah, it's going to be the Ashley Madison one. I've watched a documentary about the Ashley Madison thing on Disney Plus time ago.
I think I either listened to a podcast or I saw news articles at the time.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what this one is like. But yeah, that's what we're doing this week.
Okay, where can the people then find us?
On Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Two Girls One Doc. On TikTok, it's Two Girls One Doc Podcast. And you can also email us, twogirlsonedoc@gmail.com. You can send us requests. Some people have sent us stuff to do, actually, especially on TikTok. We are getting around to the things. So we
and
shall.
Guys, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
Oh yeah, share
please with everyone, and email different email different podcasts to shout us out. Maybe if you spam
them. Oh god
them.
Do you know when people are like, oh hey, like what podcast you listen to, like recommend, then just tell them.
And sometimes podcasts,
you should share
like,
it with the world.
Yeah, like we need new podcasts to listen to. Tell them.
Yeah, I need some new podcasts to listen to, actually. Yeah. So tell me also.
yeah.
What are you guys listening to? Because there's one I used to listen to, but I've given up now. I said, no more.
Which
no
one's
more.
That?
You can I'll tell you out. Offline.
Okay.
I'll tell you offline.
Okay, guys. All right. Bye.
Bye. I loved being a dad. I loved my wife. It was a beautiful marriage, but it was also just like monotonous. I remember seeing an advertisement. Life is short, have an affair. I was like, that sounds intriguing.
Ashley Madison was ahead of its time.
The vision was to be the largest and only website for married people who wanted to have an affair. When I would go to trade shows, I would say, you know, who's your biggest competitor? And I'd say, the Bible.
I thought it was a great idea. Go on a site and you're able to tell this stranger your deepest, darkest desires.
I signed up with all my real information, which obviously was a stupid decision.
At that time, cybersecurity was just starting to enter the public consciousness.
Security came up quite frequently. We talked about it. We were worried about it.
Ashley Madison was a cash cow. And then all of a sudden, we got hacked. It was chaos.
This hack is one of the largest data breaches in the world.
If that information got out, this would ruin a lot of people's lives.
Everyone was looking for dirt, looking for names that they recognize.
And then name after name started coming out.
You had celebrities being disgraced.
It was an absolute witch hunt.
I had no idea what was coming.
It was all over the media. Like, what is going on? Just such a selfish decision. I felt so humiliated.
I wanted to get into bed, pull the sheets over my head, and put on the Golden Girls.
This could be the biggest hack of all time.
Everyone was wondering who was behind it.
The theories were all over the place. Maybe it was a competitor.
Cheating husband.
A disgruntled employee. Here's a giant whodunit. This went way, way too far.
We all have a list that we're on that is our secret.
Accusing people, trying to publicly shame them.
Started to realize a lot more was going to come out.